What about a COVID vaccine that works, is safe, and isn't quite so hard to make and to ship? I'm David Brancaccio. There is more positive news from coronavirus vaccine researchers. Early human trial data on Oxford University's vaccine candidate, the one manufactured by AstraZeneca, seems to work especially well for adults in their 60s and 70s. And this vaccine might be easier to make and to distribute. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst explains why.
Trials on the Oxford vaccine show that it is safe, causes few side effects, and produces a strong immune response even in people over 70, some of the most vulnerable to COVID-19. Three other vaccines, Pfizer, BioNTech, Sputnik, and Moderna, have also already reported good preliminary data. But the Oxford vaccine could be easier to distribute worldwide because it only requires standard refrigeration. The UK has ordered more of the Oxford vaccine than of the other ones, 100 million doses. A lead researcher from the University of Oxford has said data on whether the vaccine protects people from the virus will probably be released before Christmas. It will then have to go to regulators for approval. I'm Jasmine Garst for Marketplace.
Stock index futures are down this morning, all in the 0.3% range. For those watching this little derby to see when the Dow goes above 30,000 for the first time, that time was not yesterday when the Dow fell 344 points to 29,438.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the business of public opinion polling, where the postmortem is still in progress into why polls tended to miss how close the presidential election would turn out to be. The USC Dornsife Daybreak poll, Undaunted, has continued to poll voters even after the election. Researchers associated with the survey, which did better than most in flagging Donald Trump's strength back in 2016, are now looking deeper at an interesting polling phenomenon. Instead of just asking people who you're going to vote for, A or B, the USC Dornsife pollsters also asked about support for Biden and Trump among your family and friends. How do you think your social circle will vote? That's the line of questioning that produced results that called the election quite well. Jill Darling is survey director of the USC Dornsife Daybreak poll. Thank you for joining us.
Very happy to.
Social circles. Who's that? Your pals, friends, and relatives?
The social circle voting question performed very well this year, as it has in previous years when they have tested it, both here in the U.S. and in elections in other countries. So the social circles question asks voters to tell us what proportion of their social circle of family and friends are going to vote for each candidate. And there's a couple of reasons why this method may be more accurate. I mean, it might help us indirectly reach people who are otherwise difficult to get to talk to us in a poll. And it may be that it's helping us to include votes from the 10% of voters that we see told us that they decided they'll vote on election day, and people that we may have missed in our polling, not missed, but hadn't yet made up their minds in the week before the election as well.
Now, I mean, I understand you're still piecing all of this together, but what other possible sources of error in the polls would you want to know more about? I mean, understanding that we can't speak definitively quite yet.
So, you know, the things that we have been investigating, and our investigation is still ongoing, but did our probability questions just not work as well in this very different election year? Did we feel like we might just be missing Trump voters or, you know, hidden voters of any kind? In our post-election poll, where we find out how people actually did vote, what we found in looking at this is that our probability questions actually did a very good job of predicting the overall high likelihood of voting and also actual vote for the candidates. So we also found no evidence that people are lying to us. We looked at how they answered questions about voting. We looked at their party affiliation. We looked at political ideology. There's just no significant inconsistency between what they're telling us about voting in this election. And I really think that in general, people like to say that, you know, people lie to polls. And there are, I'm sure, a few who do. But we have never found that that has been a significant issue.
Now, in the post-election survey that you've done, you did ask people what was the big issue for you when you went to vote. I'm thinking, given everything, maybe pandemic, what did you actually find?
Right. What we found was that overall, the highest percentage, about 25%, named economy and jobs as their first issue in making up their minds who to vote for. But there was, of course, a very wide partisan divide in this. And if you look at the sort of the top three for Biden voters, handling of COVID-19 came up as the highest. 53% named that as their one of their top three issues, followed by candidate integrity and uniting the country. And for Trump voters, it was overwhelmingly jobs and the economy at 75%. Named that as one of their top three, followed by protecting democracy and law enforcement.
Jill Darling is survey director of the USC Dornsife Daybreak Poll. Thank you very much for this.
You're very welcome. Happy to be on.
And Apple's under pressure amid accusations that it might wield too much power over third-party app makers who reach iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch customers through the App Store. Now, Apple is cutting in half what it charges the outside app companies. Its cut will now be 15%, down from 30%. Apple hasn't said if the move is in response to all the antitrust talk. I'm David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.